When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, frozen water. What are we doing here? No way. Is he gonna do it? Yes, 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 yes. Can you take me higher to a place where blind men see?
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. Happy Mariah Carey Day to all that celebrate. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. To my left, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. How was Halloween night?
Spooky.
Yeah?
Not that spooky. I didn't get scared once, but it was a great time. Great time getting candy,
yep.
Seeing people, looking at costumes. A lot of Ninja Turtles out there. Love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're back, baby.
Now, when you say a lot of Ninja Turtles, we got the whole gang? Or are there a lot more Leonardo's or Michelangelo's than maybe Donatello's and Raphael's?
I would say number one Ninja Turtle I saw was Raphael, the most common. Yeah.
Maybe it's, wonder why.
He's got two, but the best group costume I saw, all four Ninja Turtles, plus a Splinter, plus a Shredder, plus a kid who was dressed as a piece of pizza. They were awesome.
Wow, interesting.
Then I saw them on a Ring camera later, giving a finger to the camera because they were out of candy. So these kids were doing it right.
Okay. That's great. So good night for you. And JD, like myself, you're on a dead-end street.
Mm-hmm.
Did the kids show up? It was cold in Atlanta last night.
Zero.
Oh, me too.
Zero kids.
It's so sad.
It's
like,
kind of sad.
I honestly felt like my old man last night, like just like wandering back and forth in front of the window, just looking. Nora's like, just leave it. Yeah, I'm like, is there anybody coming down here? Should I make the lights brighter? You know,
turn on house.
We have a gate too. I'm like, mm-hmm. Maybe that's people, but there's just no kids.
Yeah,
there was nobody. In fact, we were so desperate to hand out candy that I, again, in my creepy state looking out the window, saw our neighbors, two young children, getting ready to get in the van to go to the rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
And hold on. I got some candy for you.
Take it, please.
And literally, keep taking it. So, yeah, it's sad.
Just throwing candy at the car as it's pulling
as
away.
As they're going, yeah. Well, I hope everybody had a safe and happy Halloween. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, subscribe, tell your friends. And if you're a baseball fan, check out today's No Bunts over at the Athletic Baseball Show YouTube feed and podcast feed. I talked to Joel this morning. We recapped the World Series through four games. We talked about the stupid low television ratings for this World Series and whether you should care at all. And we debated whether a $250 sandwich set is a good deal.
What's a sandwich set?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The Rangers have this $250 sandwich set, which is three sandwiches each 2 feet long. We're talking 6 feet of sandwiches.
Wow.
One's like a lobster roll. One's like a beef patty, really, like a hamburger, I guess. And then one is a hot dog. But they're all 2 feet long.
A 2 foot long hot dog.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, yeah. What about a lobster roll with beef tenderloin on it?
Yeah.
This is insanity.
Yeah.
Does it come with like a souvenir tray or something like that? You know, that you get to take home? You can use it later.
No, it comes with a free ticket in the ambulance ride. It's nuts.
Wow.
Anyway, that's No Bunts.
Combo.
I know.
That's weird to me.
They only sell 10. Limited supply, limited quantity.
And only 10. Yeah. Lobster. It's tough to track down.
Exactly. So that's No Bunts. This is No Dunks. We talk basketball. Let's recap last night's games. Only three on, and we will start with the most exciting one. Keldon Johnson with the steal and the score, capping the Spurs comeback versus the Suns. Very entertaining finish. They were down 20 at one point, and they storm back and get the victory on the road. What do you think?
If you're going to only lead for 2 seconds in a basketball game, the last two are the ones you want to lead. Yeah. Shout out to the Spurs pulling this off. I can't believe it, because the Suns had a huge lead at the end of the third quarter. You know, 15, 16 points at the end of the third going into the fourth. But then the Spurs went zone, and with no Bradley Beal, no Devin Booker, the Suns were a little bit confused. They had a tough time getting the ball into Kevin Durant. Just when the Spurs were in zone, if it was a man possession, Durant got the ball fairly easily and got to the hoop for an easy bucket most of the time. But I thought it was smart of the Spurs to try and throw them off their rhythm without their two lead perimeter players out there to really generate offense for him, because it was kind of just, can you bail us out, Kevin Durant? A little too much Nurkic for my liking. But yeah, that was pretty impressive the way the Spurs were able to pull this comeback off. And then the last couple of plays were huge. Wemby with the tip dunk to bring it to a one-point game. Yep. And then the trap in the corner, Keldon Johnson getting the steal, kind of just taking it out of Kevin Durant's hands, finishing at the hoop. That was nice. Could have been a foul on Trey Jones, I thought, if you were going to call a foul on anybody. Certainly Frank Vogel wanted one. But end of the game, you can get away with a little bit of stuff. And certainly the Spurs did. And they pulled it off. That was cool.
Yeah, for a team to come back from that much and get the victory without leading any of the game until the final seconds, like you said, you need the team you come back against to make some dumb mistakes. Mm. And I thought within the final 5 minutes, Phoenix made some just boneheaded plays that really bit them in the ass. The first one was Nurkic just dropping the post entry pass to him at one point. It just slipped out of his hands. They get the jump ball, so you're like, okay, well, maybe he could win this and maybe they can sort of save the possession. Instead, the exact opposite happens. Zach Collins with a great tip ahead to Keldon Johnson, who scores on the fast break.
It was like an outlet pass.
2 points right there. 3:20 left. KD, they get a stop, and they're on the fast break. And I thought he threw a brutal pass at the feet of Okoji, and it was in traffic. Now, Josh sort of manages to keep possession. He goes up underneath the hoop. He sort of gets strip blocked. Still keeps the ball, and it ends in a Nurkic three-point attempt that he missed. I mean, he was sort of feeling it. He had hit a couple.
He hit two.
But not a great possession overall. And I mean, you just look back at that one like, ooh, either they score. They should have scored in transition. It was just a bad pass, I thought. And again, KD sort of threw it in too much traffic. 2 minutes left. Wemby is running out of shot clock. I don't know if you remember this one. He gives an absolute grenade to Jones in the paint.
Yeah.
And like, it was not really going to be a shot attempt, I don't think. I don't even think he was going to get it up. Maybe he didn't even know with the shot clock there on the floor. And instead he gets fouled. And it was like, oh, what are you doing? He goes to the line, hits both of them. It's a three-point game. And then you said already the ending there. I mean, what they give up Wemby, you know, I know he's a tough guy to obviously keep off the glass, but easy put-back dunk for him. Cuts it to one. And then they did the smart move, or they trapped KD. Yeah, there's some contact. He thought he was getting fouled. He thought the whistle was coming. Kellen just says, give me that, and scores inside. So, like, yeah, three or four really just dumb mistakes that helped the Suns sort of hand this one over to the Spurs.
Yeah, the Suns fairly, I think, thought they were home free after this one. But once you get thrown out of the rhythm and the other team is able to get into a rhythm, sometimes it's hard to turn off that water. And I thought the Spurs did a really good job of, when they got stops, they ran it back the other way. The transition game was pretty solid for San Antonio last night. You know, they oftentimes are playing without a facilitator out there, often going with a bunch of like five bigger dudes. You know, Sochan will be the point guard. So scoring in transition can be a way to generate some pretty easy offense for a team that doesn't always know what they're trying to do. Like on the Wemby tip dunk, that was a botched play, but he just happened to be out on the wing. Nobody had found him. And then he's obviously 7'5". So once the ball is up hanging there, he was the first one to get to it. So good on him to just keep at it.
Really fun matchup between Slenderman and the Slim Reaper. on Halloween night. It was just, you know, it's just cool to watch. And it also, I sort of like seeing Wemby take on a guy like KD, because you are reminded, like, well, he is 7 feet tall, too.
Yeah.
And the stuff he does, obviously, like a guard and the way he scores and stuff like that. But then there's just like a supersized version of him out there. And, you know, they had some fun sort of dunks, you know, on each other, around each other, however you want to put it. But it was cool to see, and, you know, Wemby talking about sort of going up against one of his idols as well.
Yeah, said Kevin Durant said it made him feel old.
Because, yeah,
But also, it's like, when you watch the way Wemby plays, you're like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant probably is one of his favorite players. So even though KD knocked down the jumper in his face, Wemby's probably going to be happy to have that picture of them. That fadeaway from Kevin Durant, and then you've got Wemby kind of like playing fadeaway defense. They look like two parentheses next to each other. That was incredible. That's going to be like an iconic shot over the years. Kind of a, I don't know if it's a passing of the torch moment, since they're a little bit different generations, different style players, but still cool to look back on. And then obviously the back cut for Durant to get the dunk on Wemby, followed by Wemby throwing down on Drew Eubanks the very next time down. Shout out to Drew Eubanks. Thank you so much for jumping. A lot of players would just say, hey man, that guy's 8 inches taller than me. Go ahead. Not Drew Eubanks. He gave it a shot. And then, hey, he got his own dunks in a little bit later as well. But yeah, that was cool to see Wemby's first real NBA highlight.
Wild comeback for the Spurs to get the victory. I imagine so many people, at least on the East Coast, turned this one off at halftime when it was a big, big lead. Suns looked like they were rolling. Like you said, even through to the third quarter, you're like, that's what you should always do, right? If it's late where you are, if it's a 20-point game at halftime, you got to at least give it like the first 6 minutes of the third quarter and you see if the team gets back into it. So I couldn't even fault you if you said, I'm going to bed. This looks like a Suns win. But wow, what a comeback. Catch the highlights. Anything else from that fun game? What'd you think of the Slenderman costume there from
That was great.
Wemby? Looked amazing.
I was pretty surprised, though, when Ernie Johnson's like, yeah, you know the movie? What?
the other guy seemed very confused.
Yeah, they're like, what is he? Even if he just looks cool. Like, he just looked cool.
Yeah.
But I like that. There's a couple other Wemby plays that I like. It's like you're just seeing things that are so unusual.
Yeah.
I love the block he had on Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen drives in from the left corner. He sees Wemby on the left side of the lane. You know, Wemby puts his hand up to challenge the shot, so Grayson wisely is like, all right, I got to try it on the other side. Got to try a reverse, and Wemby blocks it on the other side without jumping. Just reaches
just puts
over.
His arm out.
That was ridiculous. And then I also loved, I think this was maybe in the third quarter, fourth quarter, I don't know, a Wemby assist. He went up for a jump shot and just dropped it off to Chetty Osman for a layup.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's savvy right there. This guy's already weaponizing his height and his jump shot for playmaking. The sky is the limit, and he's there.
Well, I mean, I think this last night's game was a good representation of what the Spurs are obviously trying to build here and hope with their three guys. Number one pick, Wemby, Devin Vassell, who had a big three in this one and was great, and then Keldon Johnson with these timely buckets. Like, those three, you know, you can see the vision here of what they're trying to build around those three. So, great win for them. All right, moving on. Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson, they scored 19 points apiece. Knicks beat the Cavs 109-91. Now, I will say, the injury-plagued Cavs here. No Darius Garland. He's missed three, I guess, straight with the left hamstring strain. No Jared Allen. We've missed him the entire season. He's got a bone bruise in his ankle. No Caris LeVert, left hamstring soreness, and then no backup point guard, Ty Jerome. So, Cavs pretty shorthanded here, but the Knicks took care of business, I thought. Played just soundly enough. I thought maybe there in the third quarter, Tibbs called an early timeout. And he's like, what the hell are we doing here? I mean, we should be putting this team away. They're very shorthanded. Come on, get your head out of your ass. And they responded. They went on a massive run, and this turned into a bit of a yawner.
Yeah, I think you would probably call this a Bisman-like win. Businessman-like win.
There you go.
Bisman?
You called it Bisman. I didn't know what the hell that was. I guess you could call this a Bisman-like win. I'm like,
what?
This
is a Bisman-like win. This was a businessman like win.
You don't need to say businessman or man.
Businesslike?
Yeah.
why am I slipping the man in there?
I don't know.
Probably because I'm thinking about how undermanned the Cleveland Cavaliers were, because they looked it. And the Knicks, to their credit, three guys in double figures. I thought their bench really took advantage, because that's where it showed to me the lack of depth for the Cavs right now. They were running out lineups with Sam Merrill, Amani Bates, George Niang, Tristan Thompson, and a guy named Craig Porter Jr.
Who?
We got another Porter Jr. around here?
I know.
I had never seen that guy before. He was trying some fancy moves, and I don't think he's completely ironed him out right now.
He actually didn't play that poorly.
He did some flashy stuff. He'd do like sick cross, missile land.
Yeah.
Cross, throw a pass to the other team.
Don't worry, we're NBA sickos, but John Schumann, probably the ultimate NBA sicko, I saw him tweet, just had my first, I have no clue who that guy checking into the game is of this season. And it was Craig Porter Jr. I definitely was like, what? Oh, Porter Jr.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Hold on. I thought that one guy was out of the league. I was very confused for a second, but yeah, Craig.
Yeah, don't call me Otto. Don't call me Michael.
Yes.
And you definitely not call me the other guy.
That's right.
18 points for Quickly off the bench, 13 for Hartenstein. I thought he was kind of dominant in this game in the minutes he played. And that was where I thought the Knicks really kind of turned this into a blowout, because the starting lineups, at least there's some starters out there still for the Cavs, but man, it felt like Donovan Mitchell had zero room to operate. Bad game for Strus and an invisible game for Evan Mobley.
Yeah, oh yeah, rough game. I mean, what's going on? Like, the Knicks just have the Cavs number. Again, they're shorthanded, but I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are now 2-8 against the Knicks in their last 10 games, back to the postseason and last season there. So they've got their number, but yeah, I like that the Knicks made the decision too. Hey, these guys have no one else really. Besides Mitchell, you know, Mobley not really contributing. Let's, like, get a lot more aggressive with him. Let's trap him. Let's make any of these other guys that half of them we don't even know try and beat us. And that game plan worked. Mitchell held to 6 points and only 6 shot attempts in the entire second half. And Randall talked about it after the game. We just got a lot more aggressive with him and, like, tried to get it out of his hands. Forced that pass. And these other guys, they could not beat us. We will live
absolutely
with Craig
not.
Porter Jr. trying to beat us.
Yeah.
You know, at least on this night, he couldn't.
39 points in the second half for the Cavs. And it just feels like it's going to be a struggle for them until Darius Garland is healthy, until they have Jarrett Allen back as a role threat, or when they have games like when Max Strus can't miss from outside.
Yeah.
That'll be ways that they can generate offense. But when you're looking for Niang to be carrying your bench units, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, this was a home-and-home series here. They play again tonight in Madison Square Garden, so they got that going. I guess Mitchell is going to play because he was at least a game-time decision or was up in the air whether he was going to go for this one. But yeah, great Knicks win, business-like win.
Bisman-like.
Yeah, Bisman Biyombo. And
Bisman.
yeah, Randall Brunson, Quickly awesome. And RJ Barrett, at least in the first half, he's hitting threes at a pretty good clip
there
this year, so that's good for them. So good win there from the Knicks. Final game of the night. With Harden watching, he was there. He got on the plane. The Clippers took control in the third quarter to beat the Magic 118-102. Any thoughts from this one?
I know the headline says they took control in the third quarter, but I really thought it was Paul George putting the team on his back at the end of the second quarter. Scored 10 points in the quarter, had that first basket he made on the night, that acrobatic finish where he's like kind of falling sideways, had a nice little drop off the Zubats for a dunk, and then most importantly got to the line 6 times, made 5 of his free throws, and that was kind of like the Clippers had nothing going offensively. Not a great game for Kawhi. Westbrook played really, really well, but Paul George said, okay, we've got an opportunity here. The Magic are not blowing us out right now. Mm-hmm. We can keep it close, and he kind of just decided to go crazy and put the team on his back. 27 points in the end. 7 assists as well for Paul George. This was a great game for him. And like I said, Westbrook played really, really well. Kind of a don't forget about me kind of game,
maybe.
I thought. 18 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. Not bad. And a block as well. The Clippers right now are 10th in pace in the NBA. This is a team that doesn't necessarily play very fast. Westbrook has kind of hyperized them. But with James Harden coming in, that guy's a slow it down kind of guy as well. The Clippers have to figure out a way to keep playing Westbrook ball a little bit, just because they need the changeup, I think.
Yeah. Harden and Tucker arrived 75 minutes before tip-off, but like it wasn't an official trade yet, so they couldn't even like talk about it, like Ty Lue and those guys. But you saw the clip, you know, Harden greeted by Steve Ballmer. Then he goes into the locker room. He sees Russ. You know, they hug it out. And he was asked about being traded to the Clippers. Harden said, quote, "You don't understand." He was talking about how excited he was to be in L.A. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, they play again tonight. Do we have word whether he's a go or is they going to push this off? I guess they're there.
They're there.
They could, in theory, play. They play the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, they play the Lakers.
Yeah, Clips, Lakers. So we'll see. Maybe somebody on the stream team actually knows that. I should have checked that. I don't know if Harden is playing or Tucker. And just my final thought in seeing Paolo Banchero struggling here in this game and really for the entire season so far, I was thinking about a few guys from Team USA, that team that finished fourth at the World Cup. They're struggling. A couple of them. Paolo Banchero, 12.5 points per game he's averaging, shooting 38%. Not even. Round up for that. Austin Reeves, we've talked about a lot for the Lakers, 10 points per game, shooting 33%. And then I'll throw in Josh Hart, not a scorer, but only 4.8 points per game, and he's shooting 38% too. Now, some of the other guys are doing all right. Halliburton, you know, Anthony Edwards. There's other guys that were on that team. But three specifically there, a little Team USA hangover, which is weird because we're usually doing the opposite. It's like, oh man, great reps, obviously, you know, big games, big opportunities, they'll carry that over, they'll be in shape. And instead we got, I would say, two specifically, Banchero and Reeves, really struggling out of the gate here.
How long ago was that fourth place finish for Team USA? That was a couple of months.
September, right?
Yeah, September. It was that late? Well, yeah, maybe
it was.
I guess you're right. Probably started in August.
Yeah.
I definitely heard D'Angelo Russell said that Reeves doesn't have his legs, but also Luka Doncic is one of the leading MVP candidates, so I don't actually buy it, but it's a good excuse early in the season.
I know. It's just weird. Now I'm trying to check when the heck that ended. September. You know, basically a couple
time,
weeks
man.
In. I know. Time. Anyway, just a little note there. Some news from yesterday.
I got a couple more things on this one.
Oh.
What other things did I have? Oh, I was going to say that it's good that Paul George had a good game because he showed up pregame wearing a Where's Waldo costume, and basically every quote tweet on Twitter said, look at how many bookmarks there are for this. He cannot have a bad game now or in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, not really last night's game you got to worry about. Yeah. It will be, it'll become April, May, June.
People are saving that one. Where's Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, he showed up big time last night. Jalen Suggs, interesting game.
Yeah.
He's a kind of an everything bagel kind of guy, I think. 11 points last night, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, kind of filled up the box score, but there was also a possession where Russell Westbrook made him touch earth on a crossover, and then Paul George made him do the splits on a crossover as well. So, mixed bag for Suggs. My last note is that Jim Jackson talks about cigars a lot.
He likes them.
He loves cigars.
Yeah.
You can tell with the way his voice sounds. He's got an incredible cigar-stained voice. But, man, they were doing soliloquies about going to the cigar bar.
God, hey, whatever floats your boat, man. Yeah. I also want to, just speaking of broadcasters, I tweeted it out. I want a supercut from even just this season. Somebody should keep track of how many times Reggie Miller says, anything you can do, I can do better. He loves that line.
He loves it.
Oh, my God.
Don't you dare hit a jumper after I hit a jumper.
Yeah. He will say that no matter what. In news, NBA news, fun NBA news, Joel Embiid has been fined $35,000 by the NBA for making an obscene gesture during the 76ers victory against the Blazers on Sunday. This is one of my favorite, like, quotes from like a press release about this, about the information. Quote, Joe Dumars, the league's executive vice president and head of basketball operations, announced the penalty Tuesday after Embiid made 4 WWE-style crude chops that sent the crowd into a frenzy Sunday. End quote. 4 WWE-style crude chops.
You think Joe Dumars put that in specifically?
Yeah.
He's like, that's Triple H. I know that's DX.
So, 35K. I mean, has he been fined for this before?
I thought he got 25 the
last
time.
Yeah.
My two takes are that I wish it was divisible by 4 so that we would know how much each chop costs.
Well, it is divisible by 4. I mean, it's like,
what is it, like
8,000?
Yeah, sure, but I'm saying it should be either 32,000, 36,000, or preferably 40,000. An easy 10 per chop. So you know what you're getting into.
Sure.
Maybe you got a bonus at work. These guys work at the NBA, so I don't know how they get bonuses. But you're like, I got an extra 10 Gs. I'll just throw one chop. That'd be fine. But also, I think this is totally worth it for Joel Embiid. He's got Skechers money, and they must be paying him well because there's no way you would choose to wear Skechers on a basketball court.
Yeah, right. Well, they're trying to get into it. Should he start crude chopping his shoes so you can really see them?
Take a look.
Just go really low with it. And what would they do? Like, are we?
It's not obscene then.
No,
if you're chopping your foot.
No, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, can you chop your foot?
What are those?
D-Generation X style.
Yes.
And it's like the crotch part of it gets you in trouble, just like we can't do the big balls Sam Cassell dance.
Yeah, you're allowed to flex your muscles.
Exactly.
You should be able to chop your foot.
You're allowed to shoot a fake bow and arrow.
Totally cool.
You're allowed to, I guess, show me the money. Yep. I don't know. Count
stomp.
Your dollars.
You can like do that, LeBron stomp.
Yeah, slap your chest, stomp your feet. But when you get into the groin area, you can't do anything. Yeah.
Groin
you
free.
You can't illustrate how big your balls are.
Mm-mm.
And you can't
draw attention.
Draw attention by crotching or chopping them. Yeah, it's interesting.
There's ways to get me, around this.
Yeah, there is. 35K for Joel Embiid, but funny back and forth, I guess, with Triple H online, right?
Yeah,
WrestleMania's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, WrestleMania 40.
And so
they got coming up.
So Triple H was saying, hey, come on. Come hang out and do it as much as you want. But then Joel responded with something. It's not Super Bowl weekend. What he responded like he couldn't
40.
Be there or something, I thought.
Okay, so it is Saturday, April 6th and Sunday, April 7th. That's probably the last week of the season.
Oh, is that
right?
What he was saying?
Okay. I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
That makes more sense. Anyway.
He should be there.
He will be there.
Yeah. I think so, too.
All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're hitting the beach. To read your emails and tweets.
He won't be there.
Why?
Bad news.
Why?
The Philadelphia 76ers play at Memphis and at San Antonio on the 6th and 7th. He's busy.
It's the end of the season.
Skip him. Rest.
Yeah. No. He'll be
those
there.
Are rest games.
Do a film a vignette.
Film a vignette.
With Jackie Redman.
Film a vignette with Jackie Redman.
There you go. Done and done. All right. We'll be right back to hit the beach. Don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Stream team chiming in on the Embiid 35K for the crude and rude crotch chops. Still with the points out, he should just do a Rodman and skip the game to wrestle. So, leave one of those games, fly back to Philadelphia, partake in WrestleMania. But Schumann's got a better idea. They could do a cinematic match like The Undertaker and AJ Styles. Remember that during pandemic,
yeah.
I guess?
That a boneyard match, perhaps?
I think it was a boneyard match. So we could film that before he goes and plays. And he could, do his DX chop as much as he would like in that match. That's a good idea, Shu.
I think Triple H would put him over for 1 week only.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's hit the beach.
You got the buds, I got the rockets. You got the nuts, I got the chocolates. We got that chit chat down pat, blah blah blah. You got that certain special, je ne sais quoi.
Wow! New Beach Stepping songs. Crazy lyrics. We're on the beach. JD has found a new gem.
So good!
We got the nuts, we got the chocolate!
Holy
that's
shit!
Extreme.
I was not ready for that. JD,
this
what?
Is a, this
Well, search is over. The search is over.
The search is over? That's the one?
That's the one. I know those guys. It felt really good to jump on a group text and say, hey, can I use your beat song? I'm looking
you
for
you know
I
them?
Oh. I know them, yeah. They're a Jab. My favorite band from the 90s.
Wow.
We'll put a link to their Bandcamp on
all right.
the show
excellent.
Notes.
All right. What's that song called?
Beach Song.
People are saying this is it.
This is the one. We have found it. All right. Good stuff. First question. Is just 1 week, but how are your preseason predictions looking? That is from @JamesDCO by way of Twitter/X. So 1 week in, how you feeling about your preseason predictions, TK?
All of mine are still alive right now. My skates still looking okay.
Perfect.
It's a long season. Yeah. I don't know. I picked Jason Tatum for MVP. We never talk about that guy right now.
No.
But
no.
According to Basketball References MVP tracker, currently fifth.
Okay.
You want to take a stab at the top five? You can get them.
Well, it's Luka. It's the Joker. Yep. It's I'm forgetting a very obvious one.
He's got some MVPs in his back pocket.
Giannis?
No. Not Giannis. He hasn't been tearing it up yet. But we talked. This guy got number one on our three stars the other day.
Oh my God. I said Luka. No. what?
Stephen Curry.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you've heard of him. You know you remember him. You remember him.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought the tough one was going to be number four. Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess he's scoring like
30 he's scoring
a
ton. They're winning a bunch of games right now, and he's been really, really efficient. So, yeah, sure, include him. But yeah, Tatum, I think, has been really, really good so far to start the season. 29.7 points per game, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. 55, 37, and then just 70% from the line. That'll come up eventually. He's definitely been in the mix right now, but the Celtics are kind of just rolling. And it's more exciting to see Jaylen Brown hit 8 threes. Kristaps Porzingis have a bunch of threes and a bunch of blocks in the same game. We're seeing what Drew Holiday can do. We're seeing how they're adjusting their lineups as the season goes on. Tatum just ticking along at 30 points per game, carrying the team, still the best player on the team. He's got a chance at MVP, but his numbers just haven't been wowzers like these other guys have yet.
But, I mean, really, it's going to be all about wins.
Yes.
I mean, if it's with all of these guys, all the numbers they put up, if it's like if one of the teams separates themselves from the rest of the pack, and I'm talking, you know, 5 more wins or whatever, and they're just like flirting with the 60 or they're there and over like that, you're going to immediately go to the best player on that team, all these guys we mentioned, and they're going to probably get it. But if it's... if it's jumbled once again, then we get into like, well, this team was missing so-and-so, and this guy has more of an offensive load. This guy plays defense, and we'll get into all that. I like Tom Haberstroh's sort of thoughts on these preseason predictions. He tweeted the other day, NBA opening week vibes. Preseason prediction coming true? Yeah! Called it! Preseason prediction being dead wrong? Small sample size, too early to tell you guys. That's the truth.
That's too early.
Yeah, it's too early. But I did pull my over-under locks. Again, 1 week into the season, so everything technically is still alive.
Yep.
But I had, I'll give them each to you, and you tell me how confident you think my prediction is. And
how confident you are in it?
Well, no, not me.
How I'm feeling about
how you
your
think
prediction.
It's going to project.
Okay.
Hawks, ca-ca, over 42.5 was a lock for me.
Ooh, that's going to... I think that comes down to the last night of the season.
Okay. Juice. Okay. Bucks under 56.5.
Okay. I was under on that one
as well.
I can see that coming true. They're going to have problems defensively at times, I think.
Knicks over 45.5.
Okay, I'm jaded a little. I don't know if jaded's not the right word, but I saw the Knicks play a great game against the Hawks. Probably Jalen Brunson's best game. Got the dub against the Cavs last night. They look like a team that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They played together for a couple of seasons now, so I think that could go over.
I feel pretty good about it. And we were pointing out on the Over-Under podcast, and you brought it up, they started so poorly last year.
Yeah.
We said, well, if they take away that, and they're a much better team, then they should hit that. Okay, Kings, 44.5, over.
The Fox injury makes it questionable. They've got a favorable schedule. I think they got the Rockets a couple of times coming up this week, but we'll see how long he stays out with this ankle injury and if there's any reoccurrences later. That would be the thing I think that could jeopardize that one.
Okay. Suns, 51.5 over.
I would still be confident that that one comes true, But, I mean, if they're going to be missing two of their three stars this regularly, maybe it's an under.
I'd feel a lot better if they had won last night's game, and yeah. Booker and Beal were in there. That one's, it's very early. And then Pelicans 44.5, under, I said. This is the one I would say I feel the most wrong about after 1 week.
Yeah, but that's a tough call to make in the preseason, because if you're talking talent-wise, you're probably taking the over for the Pelicans. And when they've got their players on the court, they look like a 50-win team, which has been the case so far to start the season. It's just a matter of can, specifically Zion, but Zion and Brandon Ingram continue to play every single night. We shall see.
There you go.
Thing I would like to change, I think we should have had the Golden State Warriors on the title contending tier. They've looked pretty solid. I mean, Curry has been kind of carrying them to a couple of these wins here, but they still have Steph Curry. He's awesome. He could easily win MVP this season.
Hey, look, as those shows went on, I tried to get us there. I remember I started saying, I think we're overlooking them. We're forgetting about them. They're getting lost in the shuffle because they've been there, done that, and they have all the championships. And yeah, we started to slowly get there. But you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. They should be. Next one, Hey No Duckers. I just got home from the Timberwolves home opener against the Heat, a game in which Jimmy Butler was ruled out for rest purposes after playing two games. This marks Jimmy's fourth straight DNP against the Wolves. The last game he did play was in November 2021 and featured a Rachel Nichols chant, a scuffle with Anthony Edwards, followed by Ant taking it out on Gabe Vincent's face. Remember that dunk? And most importantly, a Miami L. I get it, though. We all have things we'd rather avoid doing. So I want to know, what's an obligation you've been ducking for a while now? P.S. Prayers for a continued health recovery for our guy Tass. Definitely miss hearing him on the show. Episodes are just a little less classic. Sorry, guys, without him. That's from Monty in Minnesota. A lot of you adding to these emails. Nice, kind comments about Tass. But a fun question. What obligation have you been ducking for a while now?
Well, I'll start by saying I think that Monty's right. Jimmy is kind of ducking the Timberwolves a little bit here. You saw him like waving and blowing kisses while he was resting in the game earlier this week. Kyrie Irving, like he ducks Cavs games, right? Like in Cleveland, I think he has basically, I don't think he's played in Cleveland since that game that Gordon Hayward got hurt on the very first night of the season, which was Kyrie's first year in Boston. I don't think he's played in Cleveland since or something like
that.
Wow. That's crazy. As for obligations I've been ducking, I have two electrical updates I need to make to the house. The pole thing for my light bulb in my closet went out about a year ago. And then also the outlet that controls my garage door opener also went out. I just don't know how to change those things. And also, I don't want to get electrocuted. So, you know, I just hooked up a really long extension cord for the garage door opener, which lets me ignore the fact that it's not working correctly. And then I get dressed in the dark in my closet. I know what the clothes looks like. So there's enough natty lights.
Okay, the garage door light or whatever, that's one thing. But you're saying it's you just got to replace the light bulb?
No.
In your closet?
No. The actual... It's like a fixture with like a little chainy chain.
Oh, old school.
Yeah, exactly. I've swapped in several bulbs, but it ain't the bulbs.
Okay, I see. I see. You got to get to work there.
I got to get to work. Yeah. Or not.
Yeah, just leave it. JD, do you have an answer to this? Something you've been putting off?
I'm trying to think of something that I haven't been putting off. Like,
literally. Everything. You think the list is quite long?
The list is endless. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I just crossed one of those things off my list. It was to fix my, and I'm going to blow your American minds, fix my eaves troughs.
Ooh, oh, baby.
You know what that is, Americans? You know what the eaves trough
is?
They don't. You tell an American down here, oh, yeah, clean my eaves trough. They will look at you like you just are from a different planet. My gutters is what I'm talking about.
Gutters are on the ground. Come on.
I know. That's why eaves trough is better.
Yeah.
It really is.
Wait, gutters are on the ground?
Yeah, well, next to the side. Between the sidewalk and the road, that's what I call
it. Yeah,
that's
what we call a gutter.
Yeah.
Like a sewer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But anyway, there are also gutters here. Yeah. Point is, one side of my house, probably from branches or whatever, too much weight. It was. I was up there blowing the leaves out, and I'm like, ooh, those bolts are getting loose. And I said, I'm going to fix those one of these days. Because I refuse to, like, there are some things, I am not a handyman, but there are some things where I just feel so weird having another person fix for me. Mm-hmm. And then for me to pay them. Because I just think they're just judging me. They are like, you don't know how to tighten a bolt, you know?
Yeah.
I know, it's on your roof, and it's a little dangerous. I don't mind heights and all that. But anyway, so I have that. I've told you guys I have that app, like my to-do list app.
Yeah.
One of them is drink water every day. And I had that, fix the gutters. I had that in that app, and I would just drag it every day to the next day. This weekend.
That's such a terrible feeling when you do that.
Terrible feeling, but I like it because I like to feel terrible for a second, saying, you lazy son of a bitch. You just keep putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what feels good when I finally can say, ooh, click, did it.
Nice.
And yeah, you know, got a bit of a sore thumb from doing all the tightening. But I got it done. There you go. All right.
Congrats.
I got it done.
Thank you. Thank you. Please, I will hold for applause. I fixed my gutters.
I screwed my bolt.
Shower me. Shower me in praise. Thank you. I am a man.
Let's give it up for Skeets.
I am a man with a sore thumb. All right. Next one. G'day, mates.
G'day, mate.
Here's a couple of questions for the beach. Pick one or two or none. You know what? We're going to do both of them. Bron and KD just faced off for the first time in years, which made me think there's increasing parity in the NBA, plus injuries, player movement, etc. And I can't really say if that gives the fans a greater or smaller chance to see a great player rivalry on the biggest stage like the NBA Finals or the Conference Finals. So the question is, what's one player rivalry that you really want to see happening in the near future? Embiid versus Jokic, Giannis versus Jokic, Tatum versus Booker, Wemby versus Chet. And here's a silly one. You've already referred to the Kings coach as Michael Brown, but what are other NBA personalities' full names that sound really good or bad or weird and that we need to hear more often? Patrick Riley, Richard Carlisle, Zachary Levine, Frederick Van Vliet, Philip Elder. That's from Shank Da Tank. Two questions. Which one you want to start with? The funny names, full names, legal names, or the rivalry one?
I guess the rivalry. Okay. All of the ones that Shank Da Tank lists mm-hmm. would be awesome to see. Embiid versus Jokic or Giannis versus Jokic in the finals? That'd be incredible.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be so good.
I like
to
those
see
two.
Them actually, like, because I mean, there's definitely a rivalry with Embiid. I don't feel like there's much tension between Giannis and Jokic, but if they're facing each other, they're going to be matched up with each other quite a bit. Tatum versus Booker, I think, is kind of interesting too. They seem like the next American stars up on the list who is actually in the lead here.
Yeah.
They've each made the finals once and lost the finals once.
Yeah.
You know, they're both top five MVP kind of guys. And then Wemby versus Chet is obviously awesome and obviously going to be good because these guys are both so competitive. Chet Holmgren talks trash about everybody after every single game. You saw Wemby's reaction to winning against the Suns last night. He was going crazy. So I think that they have good personalities for
yep.
it, and I think they're obviously going to be matched up alongside each other. And then who knows? Who knows what happens once Cooper Flagg gets to the NBA as well? We'll have three very young up-and-coming centers who could be amongst the best players in the league. All three of those guys going against each other will be sick.
I would add, and we've already had a little bit of it, maybe it's one-sided, but Booker versus Luka
is
a fun player rivalry. There seems to be some distaste between the two. So I would add that one to a great list here from Shank Da Tank.
Another one I'm looking forward to see if it translates from the summer, because unfortunately these two teams don't play until I think February, but Dylan Brooks and Dennis Schroeder were like talking trash to each other through every FIBA game that
yep.
Canada and Germany played with each other. Like I said, they don't play for a couple of months, so tensions may have dissipated, but those guys like to get it under anybody's skin. Nobody more so than each other, so
yeah.
That'll be hilarious.
Yeah, it'll be great when both those teams with 20 wins are playing each other.
Give us a little spice, though.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I like that. Anyone else, or you want to move to the legal names?
We can move.
Yeah, who do you got? Who are your favorites?
Timothy Duncan?
Sure.
I feel like we rarely call him Stephen Curry anymore. He's dropped the N. He's
yeah.
just Steph.
Yeah, he's just Steph. They still, they still include it a lot in headlines
yes.
and articles
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that. But People call him Steph. Yeah.
And then speaking of FIBA, we saw this a lot in international competitions. He's not Lou Dort internationally. Full Lugans.
Lugans.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I like seeing that.
Yeah, it's a great name. Yeah. I mean, Lou's a great, short, fun, almost nickname. Yeah. And Dort is an awesome name as it is. I thought of a current player that has a cool name, Obi Toppin. You know his legal first name? It's just as cool as Obi. Obadiah.
Obadiah?
Obadiah, man.
Going to the land of Indiana? He could have switched to Obadiah easily.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good one. And then while we're talking names, I brought this up on a playback recently. I didn't know this fact, and it felt like a lot of people didn't. The Thompson twins' middle name, both of them, is XLNC. That's their legal middle names. Excellence. All caps locks. Those four letters. XLNC. Cool, that both. That's wild.
That's pretty crazy.
That's crazy, man. Well, that's a little fact if you didn't know that. That the Thompson twins' middle name, Excellence, spelled that way.
I also thought of some funny ones that go the other way. That like they use their full name and it sounds weird if you use a shortened name.
Okay.
I saw this. I was inspired by Nate Jones last night on Twitter, who called Donovan Mitchell Don Mitchell.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. It like instantly ages him up.
Yeah.
But if he played in the 90s, he definitely would have gone by Donnie. There's a lot of Donnies around
Donnie,
back then.
Yeah, yeah. Donnie. Don Mitchell.
How about Steve Adams? One letter different.
Yeah, wow.
Steve.
Just a different person.
Totally
just
different
moving
person.
Moving that in.
And then there's occasionally people that go both ways. Patrick Beverly. People call him Pat Bev.
Yeah.
People call him Pat Beverly. People call him Patrick Beverly.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. All right. Great stuff. Good questions. Questions, as you got two in there. Shanked a tank.
Full right. name.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Of course. Hey, Dunkachinos. It's been a while. Miscusi. I just have a quick question. Interesting. Is the
Allora.
Is the current version of Al Horford the greatest role player of all time? I know Ginobili mostly came off the bench, but he was always more than a role player. There have been guys like Jamal Crawford and Sweet Lou. They were get buckets type of role players, but that's really all they did. I kind of think Horford fits the bill of a role player now. He does so much, so well. That is from Brent Ferrari. Got to go full name if your name's Brent Ferrari. Vroom, vroom. That he adds himself. We don't even add that vroom, vroom anymore to Brent Ferrari's name, who always has good questions. But yeah. I don't know. Al Horford, the greatest role player of all time. Did you do a double take on that? Did you nod your head? Do the Alonzo Mourning gif, you know?
It's a no for me. But I can see the vision from Brent Ferrari here.
Yeah.
Would you consider Dennis Rodman a role player?
Who?
Or is he more like a Manu Ginobili, where he is a star, but the things he's doing is role player stuff?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I kind of thought he was more like a Ginobili. So I would have to go another level down. Shane Battier?
Okay.
That guy is a legendary role player.
Great role player.
Yeah. He'll put his hand right on your face. He won't touch it.
What about Lamar Odom?
Lamar Odom?
Is he a role player?
Okay.
He's a damn good one, man. Yeah, I was a huge Lamar
yeah,
Odom.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great one.
He was really good. Yeah. Obviously, Robert Ory's.
Robert Ory's on the list, yeah. As are Danny Green and Derek Fisher. Okay. What I'm saying is win a title, Al Horford.
Ooh,
and then
yeah.
maybe you will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
you'll
yeah.
be in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
Do some cool stuff in the finals.
Good point. Good point. I think that's fair. Yeah, you got to have a chip to be on the greatest role player of all time. Rodman is a fascinating one. Rodman made only – did he only make two All-Star games?
I think so.
Yeah, it was very few – maybe one.
He may have only made two-time All-Star.
Two-time All-Star.
But both when he was with the Pistons, winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
He won Defensive Player of the Year before he became the rebound machine.
Yeah. I heard on a podcast – I won't name it – the other day. They said Dennis Rodman was the most overrated player in NBA history, and I was like, I literally stopped my car. I pulled over. That's an insane take. I'm sorry.
Top 75 guy.
It's, I mean, literally the idea is like, oh, I mean, you can't hit a jumper. How could he be one of the greatest players of all time? Well, he did everything else at the most elite level, basically. Of course, defensive player. Of course, rebounding. He's probably the greatest of all time at that. And he was a hell of an athlete. And he was talented. I mean, he wasn't a scorer, sure, but there's other things. Anyway, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, final one. All-Star Game stakes. Winner of the East versus West. gets to host the finals as the home team. I'm absolutely sure some championship contending players will want to win the All-Star game so their conference gets to host the big series. Undoubtedly, the coach of the East or West, too. Problem solved. You're welcome, Scottie P.
Scottie Pippen, thanks for listening. Yep. Thanks for writing in.
He says, all we got to do to fix the All-Star game is to do what they did in the MLB, I guess, for a little bit. They got rid of it, but it was the winner of the All-Star game would get home field advantage in their case. But he says, why don't we do that for the All-Star game, for the NBA?
This may fix the All-Star game, and it would ruin the regular season because now home court advantage is determined by one game in the middle of the year. What about the other 82 games that actually matter?
Yeah.
You think anybody's going to give it their all trying to finish the first seed if they know that Nikola Jokic shooting hook shots in February is actually what matters? I do not think this would be a good idea.
No, not a fan of this.
No. But it would make the All-Star game perhaps more competitive.
I guess. Yeah, I guess it would. I don't see how it couldn't help. But I don't think we need to.
No, we do not need to do this. You don't need DeMar DeRozan being like, get on my back. Giannis, I got this for you. You guys make the finals. I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, what else could we do? I mean, everybody just wants to figure out how do we make it more competitive. You know,
people want to incentivize both the All-Star game and the in-season tournament because I've seen people saying, yeah, why do fans care if players get an extra $500,000? Fair enough.
Right.
But if we give a playoff spot to the in-season tournament, people are saying maybe they should get the sixth seed, maybe they should get the seventh seed, the number one seed in the play-in tournament kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what are we giving to the All-Star game? We're giving them home court advantage? It's like, yeah, it makes everything matter, for sure, but all we want is people to play hard in the All-Star game for one quarter. That's all.
I know.
That's all we're asking for.
That's exactly right. There shouldn't have to be all that much incentivizing. Yeah. It's like, for the good of the game, honestly, that's what we're getting at. Play hard for one quarter for the final 6 minutes, yeah, and give us a show. But yeah, for the in-season tournament, you're right, a lot of talk about should they get playoff seeding, or people have thrown around the idea, what about a high draft pick? Like you're suddenly given like the fifth pick or something like that. Like maybe not the first pick, but you're given a very strong, yeah, pick. Though people then push back, why would these players want to play hard for the idea of a guy taking their job? And it's like, I don't know. I understand that. But like at the same time, like some of these guys are like, well, yeah, you always want more talent on your team.
Yeah.
Even if it's in the case of a rookie. But yeah. There's also people saying this in-season tournament cup early in the year, if it's a success, whatever we determine that to be as a success, if it works, watch the league at a second one later on that maybe then does grant you a playoff position. That starts to make a little bit more sense the closer you get to the postseason.
Okay.
Right? A little weird, I think, giving the winner of the in-season tournament cup in December the seventh seed or sixth seed or whatever.
Sure.
Makes a little bit more sense maybe in a March tournament or something like that, personally. But I guess that depends on how this goes.
They could call it like March Madness. Right? Winner take all. I think that's a good name.
That's a great name.
Has this ever been suggested? Stop me if it has. Make the All-Star game count. And what I mean is every team that has an All-Star player on the East, if they win, that's a win for their team in the actual standings.
Sheesh.
Wow. And then it's a loss on the – so like the – not that these are – but the Bulls, the Raptors, the Heat, the 76ers.
Fascinating. You're saying if the Eastern Conference wins, everybody in the East, even if you didn't have a representative.
Well, or you have to have a representative on the All-Star. Geez. So that's more incentive to become an All-Star.
Oh, Jesus. Holy moly. It's all intertwined.
Yeah. Just make it count. I have never heard that, actually,
which is crazy. It's a freshie. I've never heard that. That's a hoop idea right there. Hashtag hoop idea.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. I was going to have another one there, but you blew my mind with that one, so it'll come to me. What do you think about JD's idea? What about Scottie P's idea? Any other ideas to incentivize all of these tournaments, or at least the All-Star game? Fun stuff. Let's take one more break. When we come back, Tweet of the Night.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for those warm summer days. Pool season's coming soon, so I've been hitting the weights with Peloton and my guy Adrian Williams, trying to get my muscle on in order to expand my cannonball splash radius. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. It's easy to personalize your workout. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Shout out to Adrian, Aditi, Andy, and Emma. I love you all so much. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory, JD with the galaxy brain, thinking, hey, maybe one way to make the All-Star Game more competitive is the winners, all of their teams get an extra W in the regular season. Schumann, of course, points out, well, the standings mostly matter within the conference. So if you gave all the Eastern Conference players an extra win, what does that really do? Fair, but as TK said in the comments there, back to Shu, this is why we keep the draft. Bring go back to the draft. We split up conferences and there's drafting. Ooh. Then it means something.
Playing for a win.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I like it.
We did it.
It took us 19 years. Yes.
Yeah,
people are loving the code. People are loving that that you have come up with this idea here. Joe says, nearly 20 years of absorbing knowledge on a game he doesn't care about has paid off, folks. JD has achieved NBA nirvana. You imagine, like, they try this. It works incredibly. People love it. Like, Silver brings JD out. Let's bring out the man.
The architect of it all. Yes. The Doyle plan.
Yeah, the Doyle plan. Step aside, Elam. We've got Doyle now.
Imagine. That'd be great.
The Doyle draft.
Just one final thing, because I've seen people saying about the in-season tournament specifically. Why do these players going to care? Yeah, like more money. They are already millionaires. Oh, okay, a cup. Who cares? That people think they should make the thing that you win like a lot cooler to the players. And the best suggestion, I sort of agree with it, like championship belts. Like wrestling style belts that they get to have for the year. They can carry around if they want, flaunt them on IG and Twitter, and then those same belts go up for grabs like the next in-season tournament cup. I actually don't mind it.
It's not bad. Something wearable is
something
good.
Wearable. Yeah. Yeah, so jewelry or watch or belt, like whatever.
Yeah, give them a bracelet, you know?
Yeah.
The final is in Vegas, just like the World Series of Poker. Get a bracelet.
Yeah.
Like Chris Moneymaker got a million bracelets.
It seems silly. Like, why would they care more? But I feel like they would.
I feel like they would.
That's good. It's a good idea. All right. Lots of ideas here on today's No Dunks. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right, Tweet of the Night. We actually are going back to the James Harden news. It's a tweet from @YC, and it's pretty simple, and it made us laugh. Quote, the two happiest days of an NBA fan's life are when their team trades for James Harden and when their team trades away James Harden. That's the tweet. 2 million views because it's a great tweet from @YC. A lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I saw a lot of quote tweets of Sixers fans with their reaction from when James Harden came to the team and then what happened yesterday. And this seems to be pretty accurate.
I think it is.
He's the boat of the NBA. James Boat Harden.
You're just pumped when you get it. You get James Harden and you're pumped when you trade it away. Simple tweet. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
You see a good tweet. You see a good next. Let us know. @ No Dunks Inc.
At us. We'll check our
notifications. Do I need to keep saying this? Do I need to keep slipping in X? Like, nobody calls it that.
You're the number one caller of X.
I know.
I did hear Zach Lowe say X, but like when you read it in a newspaper right now, it says X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Right.
My prediction is it'll go back to Twitter eventually someday.
Oh, so let's just stick with Twitter. Don't worry about changing the little sting there, the graphic package, which still says Tweet of the Night. We still have the Twitter and all that. Like, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It'll go back.
Yeah. It's like fashion, you know.
Typical.
Don't throw away your flannels because they'll come back. They always come back every 10 years.
Are you saying that because you're wearing one?
Yes.
Yeah, you look good.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Thank
I like
you.
That color.
Uniqlo.
Hey, hey, hey. Uniqlo, there's a company I haven't heard of in a long time.
Uniqlo as well.
That's Uniqlo as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it's a warm Wednesday. Get your Uniqlo flannels and fleeces. Nice.
Not an ad. Not an ad.
Not an ad. But speaking of that, are we? I know you were pitching once the idea of, I guess, Business Fridays.
Formal Fridays.
Formal Fridays. That makes more sense.
Yeah. The pitch has happened.
Yep.
And there's movement.
The ball is in the air?
The ball is in the air.
All right.
The ball is tipped.
We'll see.
Let's go. We might be wearing suits on Friday when we come to the Classic Factory.
It's like one of those, this is a genius idea. And then as soon as, if it actually happens, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to wear a suit on Fridays?
Every Friday.
I mean, it is it's a great pitch. Formal Friday, great name. The opposite of Casual Friday. Like, it's awesome, but you're right. By the second Friday, I don't want to be putting on a suit, I'll tell you that. But hey, we'll see.
I don't know, man. I think it's going to change our lives.
Maybe.
Probably not. But remember there's that episode of The Bear when Richie starts wearing a suit? And he's like, it felt like a suit of armor. He starts wearing it all the time. I was wearing my suit out last night, trick-or-treating as the Werewolf of London. Felt powerful walking around in a full suit. It is nice.
Yeah. Did you go shirtless underneath?
No, I covered my chest.
Yeah, it was
chest
cold,
hair.
Man. Yeah, you wouldn't need those Skims with the nips last night, would you? I mean, look, I know other people in parts of the country, like, shut up. It's not cold where you are. It was cold for Atlanta, I will admit. Yeah, it was our first real cold night or morning or whatever here in Atlanta. Yeah. Don't worry, it's not going to last. It's going to be 2 days.
It's nice next week.
Yeah, winter's over. All right, tonight, 13 games on. Yeah, you heard me. 13 games on in the NBA. That's a chunky. We'll be back here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to break them all down. Break as many as we can down.
Oh, man, break them.
Yeah, we'll break them. Just going to break them.
And Survivor.
Oh, my God. And we got Survivor on tonight. That's no buffs. That's got its own YouTube and podcast feed. Get your picks in. Good call. But we'll be back tomorrow. And we really hope you enjoyed the show today. We would love for you to hit that like button. We would love for you to subscribe. We would love for you to share the show. And podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, spooky season is over, but it is decorative gourd season.
Yeah, mother effa. Brace the day, people.